Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11, verses 27, and we'll read through 12, verse 9. Genesis chapters 3 through 11 develop a contrast between good and evil, and as you read some of the stories, you may think that evil seems to be winning. And even in the passage that leads up to where we're going to be reading today, we read the story of the Tower of Babel. And in that story, men say, "Come, let us settle. Come, let us build. Come, let us build a name for ourselves." And finally, God says, "Come, let us go down," as if to see what they're doing way down there on earth. And God finds a unified people that are capable of a lot of different kinds of evil. And he decides that he must separate them for their own good. For that reason, he shatters them into tiny fragments. But in our passage this morning, God reaches down and picks one of those tiny fragments for his own. Our passage begins a new part of the redemption story as God calls one man out of the nations to establish his covenant people, his peculiar nation, and his promise, and a promise is a land that will be for their inheritance. Hear now the reading of God's word, Genesis 11:27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, I praise you, the sovereign God of all time and space. I thank you for choosing to reveal yourself through your word. I pray that you would take this part of your history, a story that is very familiar to many, and help us see you and to see our response to your call and to reflect on our own lives in light of your word. Use me in spite of myself to share your word and bring you all honor and praise that is due to you. In the name of our mighty Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah, I pray. Amen. Joseph Tan was born in Romania and grew up as a Christian in a time when it was very dangerous to be a Christian in Romania. He had to hide his beliefs and was constantly aware of the threats that what he believed could bring to him. As he got older, he decided to flee his country, and he went to Oxford to study theology. After his graduation in 1972, he started feeling God calling him to go back to Romania and preach the gospel. Many of his friends and colleagues thought this sounded like a really bad idea. They needed good preaching where he was. They needed help. They needed people that were willing to serve the Lord right there. But Tan felt God calling him to go back to Romania. Despite the danger, he was willing to follow God's call and go like a sheep among the wolves to preach the gospel to those in Romania. Harassment and arrest soon followed, and it was during one particular interrogation that a soldier threatened to kill Tan. Tan's response was, "Your supreme weapon is killing me, but my supreme weapon is dying." He went on to tell the soldier that his sermons had been taped and they were going across Romania even as they were there speaking. And he said, "My death, my martyrdom will seal those tapes with my blood, and that will be the greatest victory that can come out of this encounter." With that, the soldier didn't really know what to do. So he let Tan go. It was after that event that Tan started reflecting on his life. He realized that for years he had been so afraid of what might happen that he was more willing to hide his beliefs. He realized that he was so concerned about the government restrictions that he was really unable to live freely. It was in Tan's willingness to give up his freedom that he founded Oxford and follow God's call to go back to Romania, and ultimately his willingness to die that enabled him to truly live. Tan chose to follow God's call and go where God sent him. Similarly, Abram faced a similar choice. He could follow God's call and go to this land that God was going to show him, or he could stay in the relative safety and comfort that he had in Haran. Even Moses, as he was writing this passage, was facing a similar journey, taking the Israelites, the people of God, from Egypt to Canaan. It would have been an encouragement for them as they set out to know this was the land that God had called them to. And even today, though many of us aren't being called to leave our families and our homes, I hope that we will see, too, that God has called us, and that call requires a response. This morning, we're going to focus on three parts of God's call. We're going to see the sacrifice associated with God's call. We're going to see the blessings and promises associated with God's call. And we're going to see the response to God's call that Abram gives. Genesis 12, 1 through 9 shows us that God calls us to leave things behind, but the blessings far outweigh any sacrifice. Our passage this morning opened with a relatively simple genealogy, but the genealogy ends with a barren woman, Sarai. We also see in the verse that Terah decides he's going to leave his home, and he's going to take Abram and Sarai and Lot with him, and they decide to settle in the land of Haran. Haran was a major trade route, and it would have offered a lot of opportunity for his family. And so they settled there, and they started to begin their life there. And it was in the midst of this setting that God stepped into Abram's life. Abram, who, unlike his brother, had decided to go with his father and travel with him. Abram, who had no children of his own, who seemed an unlikely character to be the father of a nation, was addressed by God. And God told Abram in the imperative, "Go. Leave your country, your kindred, your father, your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you." But let's take a closer look at these three things that God was telling Abram to leave behind, to give up. First, Abram was called to leave the land where he lived. As I said, this was a major trade route, and it offered a lot of opportunity for those who lived there to make a good living. And we see in verse 5 that Abram had acquired possessions and people, and so he was obviously doing quite well in this area. Abram was surrounded by family, and he was surrounded by the stuff that makes life good. But God was telling him to leave this and walk away from it. Second, God told him to leave his kindred. It seems that Haran, like Ur, was part of the larger Mesopotamia. It was settled by Terah and Abram's relatives. Later in Genesis, we see when Isaac and Jacob go to find wives, they go back to this area to find people that are part of their family. So Abram is called to leave the land of his extended family, where people look like him and talk like him and sound like him, where he would have been accepted and where he would have been safe. Finally, God called him to leave his father's house. Abram had followed his father when he left Ur, so that shows he probably had a pretty close relationship to his father. Abram would also have received the blessing of his father and a major portion of the inheritance after his father died. Often the inheritance would have included the family idols and the religious practices that that family held closely. So Abram was leaving his father, his inheritance, his blessing. He was giving up all of that if he followed God's command to go. As Moses was writing this and reading it to the Israelites, they were also being called to go. They were going on a similar journey, as I said, to the promised land. This passage would have been a great reminder to them that this was God's plan for them. This land was set apart for them. It was ordained by God that they would have this land. It would have encouraged them as they traveled the long route through the wilderness. And it would have reminded them that God was in control. And by faith, they would inherit the land that God had promised to their forefathers. It can be easy to read this passage today and jump right through it. We've all heard this story. We know what comes next. But I want to take a few minutes just to think about what Abram was being called to give up. We can miss the fact that Abram was being called to leave the safety, the comfort, and the familiarity and the family that he had to go to a land that he had not seen. We can miss the fact that he was giving away his inheritance and his father's blessing and his religion that he had practiced, all for an unnamed land that God was going to show him. I would love as a missionary to stand up here and say, this is a call for everyone sitting out there to get up and go and leave the things that you love for the mission field. But I think that would be unfaithful to this passage, so I won't go there. But I do think that there's something there for all of us. If you have put your faith and your trust in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you too have been called. You have been called to put the things around us and understand that those are gifts, but they might be things that we're called to leave behind. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 reminds us that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We are also called to live by faith. We are called to live in this land as aliens, as sojourners passing through, with our eyes focused on this land whose foundations and builder and designer is God. Even Moses was calling the Israelites as they came out of Egypt to remember that they were set apart for God and for his glory. They were called to live differently than those around them. Like Abram, we are called to give things up. We're called to put away the sins that we committed in the past. We're called to live in the world as aliens, not being snared by the things of this world. Jesus taught a similar message to his disciples. In Matthew 10, 37 through 39, he said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Take a moment even now and think, is there something in my life that God is calling me to set aside or to give up? It could be a lucrative job that interferes with your family or your church life. Perhaps it's a relationship that could be unhealthy. Maybe it's a hobby that demands too much of your time or money. It could be any number of things, and they may not even be bad things, but think about it. Is God calling you to set something aside as you go and follow Him? Maybe there are some of you out there that are feeling an interest or a heart for missions. I can tell you this was one of the hardest parts for me, thinking about leaving my father, my land, and the people that speak like me and look like me, people that I understood, and my relative safety that I had living in this country. I can tell you honestly, my father and I cried our eyes out as we were driving to the airport, and it was hard. But we are all called to give up certain things in light of God's call on our lives. But that shouldn't discourage us. Before we dwell on this point too long, let's move on and take a look at the blessings that God promised to Abram. He says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all your families, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. As a result of God's imperative to go, Abram would receive a great blessing. He would make Abram into a great nation. He would make his name great, and he would bless the nations through Abram, if Abram was willing to make the journey, to make the sacrifice. God, in turn, would bless him and the entire world through him. But let's look at these promises, at these blessings, each separately. The first promise was that God would make Abram into a great nation. The fatherless Abram was going to become the father of a great nation. This promise would require some big-time faith for Abram. God would have to intervene in a way that only he could to provide Abram and Sarai this child that would be the beginning of the great nation that Abram would receive. It would also offer a certain amount of protection and security for Abram, knowing that his family would be a great nation as he went into a foreign land. It would provide some safety and security, thinking at some point my people would be able to provide and sustain this land that God is giving us. But it would require some real faith. The next blessing that God promises Abram was that he would make his name great. This was and continues to be a great concern for many men and women. But the truth is, if you seek to make your own name great, you will fail. This was God's plan. As we talked about earlier with the Tower of Babel, they wanted to make their name great, but that wasn't God's plan for them. And so he shattered them into tiny pieces. But here, God was going to make Abram's name great. It had nothing to do with what Abram could do on his own. And he was going to have to rely again on God for a successful outcome for this blessing. The final blessings deal with the blessing of others through Abram, culminating with all the families of the earth being blessed. This blessing really comes out in two ways. There's two parts to this blessing. First, through Abram and his descendants, we receive God's word. God's word was written by those chosen from the family of Abram. And so we now know who God is and we can relate to God because we have his word. We know who he is. One of the highlights of my job and my time in Papua New Guinea is going to Bible dedications to see the joy and the excitement of people as they get God's word in a language that they can understand, where they know that they can sit down and read it and really know who God is in a way that they couldn't before. And I've told stories in the past about people and the misunderstandings that they've had, but I could tell a lot more. It's great to see an excitement and a passion for God's word. And I would pray that we would all see it in a new way like that as we open God's word in the weeks to come, that we can think about it as those Papua New Guineans that get it for the first time. They come together and they worship many times as separate denominations coming together, and they always tell me this is the first time we've ever had a worship service together as separate denominations, and it's because of God's word and the impact it has in their language. But secondly and ultimately, God reveals himself through his Son. And this is the true blessing that comes from this promise. In Galatians 3:16, Paul refers back to these promises when he says, "Now the promises were made to Abram and to his offspring." It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." Paul tells us that the promise made to Abram in our passage was fulfilled in Christ. Jesus, though he was in the very form of God, was willing to become man. He was willing to live the life that we couldn't and die the death that we deserved, so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could know who God is, and that we can have a relationship with him. And this is the true blessing for all the families of the earth. And I think this is the true mission statement for this passage. Here I can say, maybe we should become missionaries and go and spread this word. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1 that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But what were they supposed to witness? They were, and we are, to show others the revelation of God through his word and his ultimately through his Son. By spreading this good news, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram was given a decision to make. Stay in the land with his family and the comforts, or leave them all for the promise that God had made to him, to bless him and to make his name great, and to bless all the families of the earth through him. You may be sitting out there today and think, well, that seems like a no-brainer. Give up some earthly things, some momentary pleasures, and get all those great blessings that God was promising to Abram. Abram was a nomad, wasn't he? It wouldn't be that big of a deal to travel. It might have been easy, though, for Abram to justify not going anywhere and leaving the things he knew for a promise that he had no vision of how it would be accomplished. Even Moses probably understood that the Israelites were at a similar point where they could travel in and follow God's plan and march into the land of Canaan and take it as God's promise and receive it. Or they could blend into obscurity and disappear in with the rest of the people of the earth and live lives of obscurity. And often we're faced with the same decision, and it's not as easy when it hits close to home. We see things in the workplace that are contrary to God's word. Should we quietly sit in the corner, or should we step out in faith? Go out on a limb and risk a lucrative job because we've stood up for God? Sometimes we hear friends or neighbors slandering the name of God. Should we sit quietly in the name of peace, or should we stand up for God and for his name? As Christians, we regularly face decisions regarding our comfort and doing what God has called us to do. I already read in Matthew 10 some of the things that God called, that Jesus asked us to do. But in Matthew 19, he goes on to say, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." We all have a similar promise that Abram had. We're all called to put things aside or to walk away from certain things, but God promises to bless us and to carry us through those times. As I said, this was one of the hard things for me as I left for Papua New Guinea. I didn't understand how that would look if I walked away from father and mother and brother and sister. I could walk away from my house, that was all right, but my father was another thing. And now, as I spent time in Papua New Guinea and traveled around and I get to spend a lot of time in different villages, I think I probably have 10 or 12 fathers now. Every time I go into a village, it seems like some older man in the village just comes beside me and says, "You know what? You're my son now." Literally, you're my son now. Okay, a new dad. And as I'm in that village, they guide me through. They show me what's going on. They point out things to me. They teach me. And I get to learn a lot about these places because these men have decided that they're going to be my father for that short time that I'm there. And it's been an amazing blessing to see God fulfill that even in my life. We need to be willing, like Abram, to go in faith and follow Christ, despite the apparent things that we will have to give up. The risks are far outweighed by the reward. God called Abram, asking him to leave behind some seemingly important things and make some big-time sacrifices. And God made promises to Abram that would make it seem that would seem to make up for everything that he left behind if he was willing to go. And now we will look briefly at Abram's response. Abram hears God's command, and his response is threefold. First, he goes. Second, he travels through the land. And third, he worships God. Abram's response is recorded in verse 4. So Abram went. He didn't need to spend a lot of time weighing the pros and cons, thinking about the different options. He didn't negotiate with God, as we see him doing other times. God tells Abram to go, and so he went. But Abram doesn't just follow God to Canaan and stop. It says that he travels through the land. He traveled through the land from north to south, stopping in what seemed to be the major worship centers for the Canaanites. While the ultimate goal of a nation possessing the land was nowhere in sight, Abram had faith and believed God's promise to him. As Abram followed God's direction and went through the land in faith, he also did one other important thing. He worshiped God. We see in verses 7 and 8 that Abram builds altars to the Lord in the different places where he stops. And verse 8 adds that he called on the name of the Lord. Abram was still childless. And despite being in the land, there was no obvious way that he was going to control the land or possess the land. His name was still relatively unknown to those people in the land. But Abram had faith that God would fulfill his promise, and so Abram worshiped him. We need to be careful at this point, though, to understand this isn't a health and wealth gospel. This isn't saying that as you decide what you're going to walk away from, you'll receive the blessings that you think you deserve. Even in Abram's life, things didn't always go perfectly. It didn't always go well. And Abram didn't get to see the fulfillment of a lot of these blessings that he was promised. So it wasn't something that he would see in his lifetime. But Abram still worshiped God and praised him because he trusted God to do what God said. Abram shows a proper response to following God. We are called to worship God. As we see him moving and working in our lives, this should encourage each one of us to worship him. Prayerfully, God has called each one of you to be his child, but has he called you to more? Are there things today that you feel God has called you to do, but you are uneasy about the results or the cost? Are there things in your life that you feel God is calling you to leave behind? Know that what God wants, what's best for you and what brings him glory. Often as we leave behind the things that God calls us to give up, it brings us closer to him. In closing, I want to read an excerpt from a letter from a missionary named Heidi Shepherd, who's quoted in Philip Ryken's commentary on Exodus. In the letter, she writes, "I am sitting this morning in the kitchen and am caught up in two extremes. As I look out onto the makeshift type of kitchen on the porch-like area, I think with such fondness of our comfortable home in the States. I think of how big it was, how there was so much room for the kids to play, of how well our kitchen worked, of how large our refrigerator was, of how many products there were to eat, etc., etc. I also think of the incredible convenience of the minivan and the protection of seatbelts. I wonder, what have I been falling in love with over the last 11 years? Have I been falling in love with comfort, or have I been falling in love with Jesus? I fear that all my comforts have started to act like dark sunglasses, and I have not seen the glory of my Lord. Ultimately, that should be our goal. As we respond to the God who calls us and leave behind things this world has that he's called us to forsake, we will see more and more the glory of the Lord. This, in turn, will enable us to grow in love for Christ and worship God, the Creator, Giver, and Sustainer of life. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord God, you alone created this world and set your plan of redemption in place before the foundation of the world. You called Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and you continue to call your people today. You call us out of a world that is not ours to a heavenly city that you have prepared for us. Give us the strength and the courage to follow you wherever you lead. I pray that you would set things on our hearts and minds that you would call us to put behind us. And I pray that as we set these things beside, that you would show us more of your glory and that we would fall deeper and deeper in love with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.